Wiggily, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Wiggily, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Joining me this week are cast members Trevor Wilson and Jamie Ewing from the Town Square Players production of A Few Good Men, playing right now through June 30th, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the Woodstock Opera House. The central theme or story of A Few Good Men is that it is a gripping military courtroom drama that follows the trial of two U.S. Marines charged with murder. But the question is if they were following orders. For ticket information, you can contact the Woodstock Opera House box office at 815-338-5300 or online at woodstockoperahouse.com. Welcome to the show, Trevor and Jamie.
Thanks for having us, Ricky.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So, Jamie, you play Commander Jessup. Is that correct?
Colonel Jessup.
Colonel Jessup. Very good. And that is a role that people would recognize from the 1992 film by Rob Reiner that Jack Nicholson actually played in the film.
Oh, really?
And
I wasn't aware of that. Does he have a famous line?
Ah, gosh, I don't know. And then Trevor...
I don't think we do that, do we?
No.
Trevor, you played Daniel Caffey, which is the role that people would associate with Tom Cruise from the film.
Correct.
But long before there was a film, there was a play. Mm-hmm. And that is what is being performed at the Opera House. And so let's get right into it in terms of the preconceptions of the movie versus the play. How does the play compare with the movie, Jamie?
Well, I was saying in our conversation earlier, I think that we do a good job of kind of showing what's happening with these men as they're waiting for their trial. You know, sort of in a real time capacity, you see what their life is like in the brig. You see them being visited by chaplains, by cooks bringing them food. In between the scenes where the lawyers come and actually speak to them on stage. So there's sort of a life being built for these characters on stage while the rest of us are playing downstage, you know, and doing line work that kind of adds an element to it that, you know, you can't see that. In a movie, you'd see them cutting back and forth between, you know, the two spaces.
But not simultaneously.
Not simultaneously, yeah. And I think that was a really bold and interesting choice that Madeline made, our director.
And Madeline is the director, Madeline Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
How is it working with Madeline?
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's
been amazing. She's definitely pushed everybody
to
the limits and, you know, and also gives you the, you know, the artistic freedom that you would want, you know, being in the production. So I mean, she pushes you and tells you where to go, and you know, she's drilling us every day, but it's brought out the best in everybody and our performances and everything. So.
And I think I was saying earlier that there's sort of an element like there has been sort of an element like a boot camp situation where, you know, we have military advisors in the cast, you know, some fine gentlemen who are keeping us on point with what our costuming looks like, what our marching looks like, what our saluting looks like. Our military bearing is the phrase that kind of gets bandied about a lot. But we, you know, everybody falls into that mentality, and it's, you know, I think it's, we're ship-shaped to a member of the ensemble that everybody's fully engaged and one for all with it.
Yeah, we start off every rehearsal with a march, and Bill Boggs, our military advisor, he starts us off with the chant, and we all get in line, and we practice salutes and left face, right face, about face, marching. So I mean, we get in that mindset before we even step on the stage and start doing the rehearsal every day. So
yeah, and the Derek Herkus, and who plays Lieutenant Kendrick, is another former Marine. His scene with the company check is
Oh yeah,
it's scintillating,
electric. Yeah,
it's one of the standout scenes of the show.
Very good. Now, Trevor, you had mentioned the artistic freedom that Madeline gives you with your role. What are some of the directions that you've taken your character in?
So, I mean, it's not many plays that you do have a movie, you know, attached to it. So it's hard not to watch the movie, you know, especially for my character, be like, oh, you know, I'm playing Tom Cruise, you know. So watching the movies, trying to find some of his mannerisms and stuff like that. But I'm like, I can't do that because this is Trevor Wilson playing it. This isn't Tom Cruise playing it on stage. So, you know, you got to separate the movie from theatrical version of it. And I think everybody's done a great job doing that. I mean, Jamie's no Jack Nicholson, but in the best way possible, you know, because Jamie's Jamie when he's playing it. And he brings, you know, something more of, I feel more power to the role than Jack Nicholson does, where Jack Nicholson kind of plays more of a laid back, kind of smart alecky kind of guy, where Jamie's more intense and, you know, scarier, you know, to me. So, and he's, you know, he's my arch nemesis in this play. So, you know, me and him have our back and forth, and it's awesome. But so as far as the things that I've done in the play, I mean, you know, just the way that the lines are written and the way the character is for me, for Daniel Caffey, he's you know, kind of doesn't really care in the beginning, and you know, he gets the realization at the end. There's a lot of things that my character has to overcome and go through throughout the whole process of the 2-hour play that we put on, where, you know, I have many character arcs, and I mean, there's like 6 of them, and I'm constantly changing throughout the thing. But, you know, my overall personality is kind of a little cocky, you know. So I mean, I kind of run that through the whole thing. So
that's really great.
But he does. You can see the full arc from, you know, as an outside perspective, from an outside perspective.
And Jamie, yeah. Does Jessup go through any character change?
I think he is pretty dead set that he is right. I think that he is obviously a fundamentally flawed character, but in his way he is, and he states a number of times in different ways that they ultimately have a job to do to protect as many people as possible. To, you know, they're the bulwark against, you know, threats to freedom. So he takes his job extremely seriously, obviously, and he's just been in that mindset for so long that he doesn't see any way that ultimately it's one person's life against a whole country's security.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a very tunnel vision approach to it.
So he's a flawed character who thinks he's doing right, but morally it might not be
exactly
on the button.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, we kind of joked around that there's a line that everyone knows Jack Nicholson does in the film, but are there lines or scenes in the show that are actually more telling about Jessup's character?
Yeah, my personal favorite scene as Jessup is the opening of Act 2, where he brings Commander Stone, the Guantanamo Bay doctor, who examined Santiago's body, Private Santiago, the victim of the whole play,
yeah.
Right? And he essentially finds, you know, Stone gives a listing of possibilities of what could have happened. Jessup picks out the one that is basically the worst case scenario for Dr. Stone, or for Commander Stone, and kind of pins that to him. The guy essentially leaves the office thinking, all right, I pretty much have to throw myself on my sword for this guy. And he sort of does that with every character that he confronts, except Caffey, where I guess in a way I find that, you know, I see that weakness in your armor too briefly,
mm-hmm.
and attack that. I mean, he's always looking for the position of power in every scene that he's in.
Okay.
No matter who he's in the scene with, you know, he wants to assert himself as the alpha male, you know, in any scenario that he's in.
Okay. Now, Trevor, sometimes a cast can build like a great camaraderie during the rehearsal process. And did the boot camp mentality of the show help in that regard? Because I can see you and Jessup here at Jamie, you seem very close, and yet you play mm-hmm. arch enemies on stage. Yes. Is there much camaraderie in the cast?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, obviously it built up over time. Mm-hmm. And we've gone out a couple times after rehearsals and stuff, but yeah, I mean, like during the play, I mean, everyone is so focused on, you know, on the actual play. And I think, you know, especially with me and Jessup and a couple other characters, we're pretty much on the stage the entire time. So there's not really much talking going on. And that's, you know, that's Madeline, you know, at work. You know, when she's there, it's boom, you know, like we're here, we're ready to go. Mm-hmm. We do our boot camp in the beginning, you know, we do our marching, we get in the right mindset, and we're running straight for 3 hours, just doing lines, just getting blocking down, you know, getting everything perfect. So there's not really much talking outside of scripts going on mm-hmm. at the rehearsals, but you know, we've definitely gotten close as a group. We meet at the end of every rehearsal, and we all, you know, get in a circle, hold hands together, and we, you know, say "oorah" to each other, which is a Marine term that they use. So I mean, that's it's been great. I mean, everybody's built a lot of friendships, I believe, here that will, you know, go on past this play. And I think one of the amazing things is, well, over half of the cast has never even performed.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they've never even performed before. So a lot of these people, like this play in particular, because everybody knows that the movie came out for the auditions, and you know, we got people from everywhere. You know, we got teachers, we got cops from Crystal Lake, we got people from, you know, all over. I mean, it's not just Woodstock, you know, McHenry. There's a bunch of people from within the county. Mm-hmm. I mean, Madeline herself is driving from Palatine. So,
wow.
I mean, so she comes every day, you know,
that's
driving
a good
over
hour
an hour.
Commute, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it's a bunch of people from different walks of life, and we've all come together, and it's great because the people that haven't acted before are amazing and just blowing everybody away.
Yeah. And I think if I can kind of paraphrase one of the lines that I say, you know, that the kind of the military approach is, you know, honor code loyalty. I think there's that sort of, that underlies what we do as a company too, you know, that there's an honor in what we're doing to, you know, to the script, to the work, to each other. And, you know, we do that is the code that we live by every day that we're at rehearsal.
And then since we've been in our tech week, you know, we have our full uniforms on. And I mean, when Jamie and I definitely said something too, like the first day we had full uniforms on, we're like, wow, this is like, mm-hmm. now it's starting to feel like something special. You know, I mean, cause we're wearing uniforms that, you know, ex-military people were wearing. So it's, you know, we have that honor when we're wearing it, and feel like you got to step up your game a little bit, you know?
Right. But Bill Boggs said to us in the dressing room that, and I think even on stage, mm-hmm. after one of the dress performances, that, you know, to us, we're approaching these like costumes, but these were somebody's uniform. And it doesn't matter, you know, what the rank of the person was. You know, I happen to have a coat that was a private's coat that had, you know, like one, like a PFC band on it. But the idea is that somebody wore that to serve. And, you know, I try to keep that in the back of my mind, at least, that, you know, you want to honor.
Yeah,
but they're,
you want to have an element of respect,
right,
to your performance in regards to the,
right,
person who wore this uniform.
Right, and I have a number of extended family who are both active and retired military. Your father was in mm-hmm. the Army.
Yeah, my
too,
father correct? Was a ex-Marine, and my grandpa Marine. Was ex-Navy. So
mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. yeah, and so there's a lot of, you know, like I said, there's people in the cast who have been service members, and I'm sure there's a number also who have family members who have been in the service.
And they're all the characters in this show, they're all military. There's no civilians, is that correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, either you're Navy or you're Marine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's definitely, and there's a difference between
wrong
the two,
or right,
as, yeah, as Bill would tell us.
Squid.
Yeah, we're squid lawyers, as the Navy lawyers is what he calls us. But,
okay.
But yeah, there's you know, it's, and that's a great, you know, kind of difference between the play, between the characters and stuff too, where, you know, like Jessup and I are prime examples of, you know, he's got his Marine, you know, honor code loyalty, and I have my own, type of code as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So it and it showcases and the difference between, you know, the Navy lawyers that we have and then all the Marine soldiers.
Now, right. Trevor, a lot of times in playing a role like Kaffee, you try and find that element in yourself that, that kind of jives with the character. Were you able to find that element in your preparation for the role?
So I mean, Kaffee, he's a little cocky, thinks he can just kind of wing everything. And I mean, I guess I'm kind of like that. So
the truth comes out.
Yeah. So, I mean,
we
you know,
can handle this truth.
I've gotten a lot that people tell me that I'm like a Tom Cruise. I don't know. People tell me that all the time. So I'm like,
you're
well,
a little taller.
Yeah, I'm a little taller than Tom Cruise, so that helps. But
believe we're lizard people?
But yeah, I mean, you know, well, Tom Cruise's character in the play and Daniel Caffey, his character, it's you know, he kind of thinks that he could just kind of wing everything and just, you know, just do his thing and it's going to work out. I mean, he's known for plea bargaining is what his character does. He doesn't go to court. He just figures out the cases beforehand because he's like, I don't need to really work hard on this because I'll get what I want anyways. But then, you know, in this particular story and in this particular case that I'm working, you know, Joanne Galloway, who is played by Tanya, she's amazing. She kind of, you know, talks me into it, and you know, with her pushing me and keep nagging me about it, you know, I finally get on the same level as she is, you know, where we're just like, well, now we got to save these two Marines that are on trial for their lives. And but you know, going back to what you were saying, yeah, I could relate to Tom Cruise a little bit. So like I was saying, I mean, it's nice because my father was an ex-Marine and my sister's a lawyer, so I mean, I kind of just see it all the time with the military background and my sister being a lawyer and all of her friends are lawyers, so all the legal jargon and stuff that I got to say, I, you know, I've heard it before, you know, so that was very helpful.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. This week we have some of the cast of A Few Good Men in the studio. A Few Good Men is playing at the Woodstock Opera House through June 30th, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, being presented by Town Square Players. For ticket information, contact the Woodstock Opera House box office at 815-338-5300. That number again is 815-338-5300, or go online to woodstockoperahouse.com. Now, Jamie, you play Jessup, who maybe you wouldn't want to have anything in common with.
Right.
Do you find a commonality, or is it a character that's just you step out of yourself to portray?
No, I think that's really what I've strived to do. I mean, I don't find a lot of, you know, he has a lot of sarcasm that he brings to the table. So I suppose that's, I don't know, am I a sarcastic guy, Trevor?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, that's the closest he could get to Jessup's character, because he's not a bad guy like Jessup is, so.
No. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that there's nothing that I have in commonality, but when, you know, like he said, when you touched on when we put on the costumes, I think it really sort of elevated things. It brought out more, and how I carry myself as Jessup is not the same as how I carry myself in life. And I honestly kind of lose myself in that final speech in the courtroom. You know, I came off the last dress just with my heart pounding. You know, just this moment of complete absorption in the, you know, in the character, not really, for all intents and purposes, I might as well have been that man in that moment, you know, about to be court-martialed and drug off stage, you know, out of the courtroom. Mm-hmm.
You became fully invested in the character, enveloped in the character.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not super methody, but I do kind of, leading up to that, I kind of try to backstage, you know, have a few minutes to myself just to kind of compose myself, get ready for it, kind of separate myself from everybody just to kind of, because essentially he's going to be in the witness stand on his own against the entire courtroom, whether it's people in the Marines with him or not, he ultimately is, you know, it's him against the entire world. And you kind of have to get in that isolated state of mind to bring that all out.
How did you get started in acting?
Well, I my undergrad was in theater at Central College in Pella, Iowa. After I graduated, I was involved in a semi-professional ensemble called the Dreamwell Theater Company in Iowa City, who's still active. They've got a website. They're still going strong. I think it's 25 years almost now. And when I moved to Chicago originally, I had intended to. That was my path. My goal was to end up. The goal at the time was I want to perform at Steppenwolf. Mm-hmm. You know that, and then real life kind of steps in the way. You know, kids come along and work and whatnot. And I took about 15 years off. And now this is either the eighth or ninth thing that I've done in the last couple of years. So it's been steady. I'm kind of. It's still a dream. You know, I don't know if it'll come to fruition professionally or not, but you know, every show is another experience and another step along the way.
And now different people come into theater in different ways. Trevor, you started theater kind of later in life, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of dabbled in theater when I was younger. I starred as Charlie Brown in Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Nice.
In sixth grade.
So,
you have too much hair for Charlie Brown.
Yeah, yeah, that was the big complaint, actually. They didn't give me like a bald cap or anything. I was a little disappointed. and when I was in college, I got degrees in communications and marketing with a minor in business, and I got a minor in acting only because I had to take a couple classes that kind of, you know, co-went with communications and acting. I'm like, oh, might as well get my minor in acting. It's only like three other classes.
Columbia, right?
Columbia College. Okay. In Chicago, yeah.
Oh, so that's my alma mater.
So I took a couple acting classes, and I did like one play when I was in college, and I had like two lines. I think it was a musical Urinetown.
Okay.
So I wasn't really in there that much, and I mean, I had a dream for a while, you know, when I was like in my younger 20s that I was gonna move to Hollywood and, you know, be a big star and stuff. And then, like Jamie was saying, you know, real life kind of hit, and I kind of just forgot about it for a while. And then I was like 2-3 years ago, I did a play for Town Square Players at the Woodstock Opera House, and I played alongside Tanya, who's also in the play with me again. She played my wife. And we were in Rumors, the mm-hmm. play. And, yeah, so now, you know, I wasn't even going to try out for this play. My sister and a couple other people kind of talked me into it. It was kind of like a last-minute thing. I wasn't going to go. I showed up an hour late to the auditions and when we were supposed to be there.
True story.
Yeah, and then Madeline's just like, all right, I'll see this guy who came in late or whatever. And then, you know, I read a couple lines, and then Jamie and I actually stayed afterwards, and him and I read together as him being Jessup and me being Kathy, and I felt like, you know. And
we had, I think, good that antagonistic was, energy.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Madeline felt that contrast. Right away, and she's just like, well, these are our guys, you know, kind of thing, so.
Very good. And now, Jamie, you've worked as an actor extensively. Mm-hmm. Have you worked on the other side of the stage in terms of directing?
Yeah, it's been a number of years ago, but I directed some productions with Dreamwell Theater, including, at the time, it was like a, you know, quote-unquote world premiere of a new translation of Lysistrata.
Oh, wow.
You know, the Aristophanes play. That's the last thing that I've done to date, but one day I'll probably dabble back in it again. I'm just having too much fun acting right now to.
I was going to ask, is there a preference of acting versus directing?
Oh, definitely acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you don't have as many of the logistical nightmares to worry about. And, you know, you get to take that hat off at the end of the day. The director never takes it out. That's just, you know, I'm sure part of the reason we have incredible respect for Madeline, because she's. And she has other projects that she's working on simultaneously.
But you wouldn't know it.
No.
Yeah. Felt
no.
like she's
full commitment,
on ours
full
24/7.
Energy.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how is it working with Madeline? What special quality does she bring to the production?
She pushes you in the best possible way. And, you know, she gets you to strive for excellence. And if you think that you're right there, she's going to push you another inch to get you past that. And suddenly you find that you've brought even more color and more quality to your character, yeah. to the whole production. I mean, to a person. I mean, everybody has thrived and flourished under her direction, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she sits down with every single person individually and, you know, she's like, all right, let's develop your character. And we sit down, we have a, you know, specific talk about your character and how you could relate to him like we were doing. And we've worked specific scenes, you know, like some of the power scenes, like our last courtroom scene, we had just one practice where we dedicated
multiple
practices where it's just like, this is it. This is the climax of the whole play, the Jessup and Daniel Caffey, and we worked that scene, worked it, you know, got the blocking down. And another thing, she made us memorize our lines, like, immediately, yeah. which was huge, you know, because exactly. once you get the book out of your hands, you're free to walk around and act.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. We've been visiting with cast members from A Few Good Men, being presented by the Town Square Players at the Woodstock Opera House. For ticket information, contact the Woodstock Opera House box office at 815-338-5300. Or go online to woodstockoperahouse.com. The show plays Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through June 30th. The box office number for ticket information again is 815-338-5300. Jamie and Trevor, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a fantastic show, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it myself. Break a leg, guys.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Enjoy.